I want you to open your Bibles to Luke 16. God's kept this service right in line. It's not gone too high. It's not gone low. You just hit the top of the mountain and run right along the top of the mountain. Would you stand with us, please, while we read a portion of the Word of God? Can all of you hear us all over the tabernacle while we're coming through? Can you hear us back there? If you can, raise your hand, please, back there in that corner. What about over here? Fine, thank you so much. I want to begin reading in verse 19 of chapter 16. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. There was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate, full of sores, and desired to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried, and in hell he lived up his eyes, being in torment and seeing Abram afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in this flame. Our blessed Father in heaven, we come now to this time of this service, and I stand before you, Lord Jesus, fully conscious that in us, Lord Jesus, we're unable to do anything whatsoever. But I know, our Father, that Thou art able. I know, Lord Jesus, that tonight, God, you're able to do that that man cannot do. I pray that the power of the Holy Spirit will hover over this place. God, that we'll see the real moving of God. We'll see the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. We'll see old-fashioned Holy Ghost conviction. We'll see men and women come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as a personal Savior. We wait before you. God, we trust in thee for the results of this hour. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Much has been said today and throughout the camp concerning the size. I noted two or three different times that different preachers have commented on the size of congregations. Large and small numbers have been quoted for the record. It's a time, I'm sure, that every one of us must realize that surely, if you read your Bible, as Brother Taylor said, it's just about time to go home and be with the Lord. That brings joy to the heart of every born-again believer. And if that doesn't bring joy to your heart, you ought to be on the altar right now, looking for that blessed hope. My dear friend, is one of the most joyous moments in the heart of every born-again believer. But my dear friend, tonight, since we are striving to reach as many as we possibly can with the gospel, trying to get as many to Jesus as we can, my dear friend, I'd like to leave a few simple things with you tonight. I wonder how many preachers right now in this building, how many of the men of God that's been called to preach the gospel. Brethren, would you stand up just a minute, please? I want to see all of God's preachers. Thank you. I appreciate that. I want to see where you're at. You can be seated. I don't know whether you remember or not. I don't know how many of you can recall. I feel sure that most of you do. I'm sure that I do. I know quite well. I remember that first message and the first messages. I remember so well how my knees was trembling just about like they are now. I remember so well that time when I walked up in the pulpit with that little old dime store Bible. I hadn't heard of Scofield. You know, I didn't know he'd even been born. I didn't know you could get red and blue Bibles. I thought they was all black. I was in my study some time ago, and I love to get in my study. I like that. I remember as I sat down in my chair and turned around and faced the wall. One whole wall is filled with bookshelves. On those shelves are Spurgeon's works. Some of Moody. There's Feeney's biography. There's many, many great men, Ford and Oliver Green and many other great writers are there on my bookshelves. My eyes wandered up to the third shelf, stacked over on one side is a line of Bibles that I've used, Brother Bob, in 31 years of preaching the gospel. There are Scofield Bibles now. There are some Thompson Chain reference Bibles. Not a good news for modern man in the bunch. There is no Living Letters as such. I feel the pull now. This is that moment when preachers love to preach. And the God bumps break out on you. My eyes settled on a little Bible. Over at the end was that little Bible. Seemed like the Holy Spirit said, I sure would appreciate it if you'd pick it up and look at it. I got it down, and for a moment I fondled it in my hand. The backs were slick. And suddenly I realized this is one of my early boy preacher Bibles. And I let it fall open. And as most young preachers are aware of, your knowledge of the Bible was extremely limited. You preached a lot on the prodigal. And may I say, we addressed ourselves to Luke 16 quite often. And I say to you, I was no exception. My Bible laying in my lap, that little cheap Bible. I looked down at the margin of it. And I'd made little bitty notes to myself. And here it said, such and such a church. We had 15 saved. Down the margin I went, and record after record, and said 15, 20, maybe 30 and so on, had come to know the Lord. And I said, Holy Ghost, what are you trying to show me? And he said, Ed, I want you to remember those days when you was a boy preacher. I want you to remember those times when you hadn't learned how to tie real good. When you had a car, you had to park it on a hill so it would roll off. The only lock on the door was a nail drove at an angle. God said, Son, do you remember those times when you preached on Luke 16? You cried a lot in those days. You cried an awful lot in those days. And you just wept over souls and begged them to come. And down the aisle they'd come and get born into the family of God. I had not become acquainted. Since I was raised in a little mountainous church, I did not know the doctrine of premillennial or postmillennial or amillennial or dispensation. The only thing I knew that I'd got saved and God had called me to preach. I looked at that little Bible again. I said, oh God, I don't know enough now, and I ought to know more, and I apologize for not, but oh God, give me one more time that spirit of that boy preacher, and let me preach with a broken heart to men that are going to hell without the Savior. Amen. God said, look at it a while, son. And he let me hold that. I don't know how much time elapsed as I sat there in that study. But God showed me some things that day. Brother, and I want to share them with you. I don't know how many of you still believe in a literal burning hell. I don't know how many of you still preach that there's flames that are burning and men that are in hell there. But I want to serve notice and go on record that I still believe there's a hell. And I find no joy in consigning souls there. I find no joy that men are going to hell. But it brings real joy. This old preacher's heart ought to still see men walk down the aisle and get born in to the family of God. My dear friend, there's a place called hell. There's an awful place. I serve notice on you. That is called hell. I remember years ago now, for a livelihood, for my secular occupation, I drove a semi-tractor and trailer. I remember one night late, as we were coming out of a large southern city, there was a young man, so wicked and vile and wretched. But I remember that night as we drove along on a two-lane road coming north, I looked in my rearview mirror and observed a trailer and a tractor passing all the others. Some for some unknown reason, that young man that was vile and wicked came by that convoy, and suddenly without notice, my friend, that tractor plunged down an embankment, and the trailer stood up on its end and fell back over on the cab. Somehow, I do not know, that cab was suddenly caught and pressed and run back up like that. The side door, the glass broke out. The windshield broke out.
And my friend, suddenly we looked in, and there was that boy conscious. He was conscious, but I never will forget. One of his left arm was somehow pinned under him, and his legs was down in that tractor, and we tried to get his legs loose, and we pulled and we pulled, and somebody said, we're going to have to get some jacks and things to get him out. And suddenly somebody said, I smell smoke. I smell smoke. And we looked down, and suddenly that gasoline and oil began to ignite down in there around his feet. And that boy began to cry with a cry like I've never heard in all of my life. He said, I'm on fire. My shoes are on fire. And my legs are burning. Do you know why the Baptist Church today, my friend, is growing cold? Do you know why that we're not seeing the altars fill like we used to see when us preachers preached on hellfire and brimstone? We don't believe in hell like we used to believe in it. You would see it again. Amen. My dear friends, I never have forgotten that boy, bless his heart, as he laid there in that old tractor. I never will forget. He had a leather jacket on, and his arm was pinned down. We emptied every fire extinguisher we had in there on it, but that flames licked up around him, and his clothes were ignited, and suddenly that jacket caught on fire, and I can see him with that hand trying to beat that flame out and screaming, I'm on fire, I'm on fire. Brother, hear me. It's good to go down in that Bible and be deep theologically and tell the great mysteries. Oh, God, help us to come back to some simple preaching that lost men can see they're going to hell, and the church can get aware they're still a hell. We've tried to impress, I fear, the congregations with our deep knowledge, which is great and good, and my soul has banqueted at the banquet table of God this week. Lord, help us to be simple enough that we can preach, my dear friend, that there is a burning hell. There is an awful place called hell. I'll never forget there in that dark night as his clothes begin to burn. I remember his hair caught on fire. I never will forget. He was scratching at his face like this. We poured water. We put every extinguisher we had. And he was on fire, trying with that one arm that was free to beat out. He pulled out great handfuls of his hair. And I can remember, as we had to step back helplessly, I never will forget. His arm was waving, and his sound in that night, I never will forget. Ah! Ah! Oh, help me! Somebody kill me! Help me! Shoot me! I'm on fire. I'm a burning. You listen to me, friend of mine. It's time today that we as a Baptist church still believe in a literal burning hell and preach it that men that are lost are going to hell without God. So, preachers, you say it's been so long since I've preached on hell. You know what? I believe it's a message that'll fill our churches. I believe it's a message if we can get folks to realize first of all, their folks are going to hell. I believe it'll get folks interested in personal work again. I believe it'll send bus workers out with more of an intention just to count noses, but say they're going to hell without God. Oh, friend, listen to me. I've got some daughters, precious daughters, Brother Robert, and I've got some grandsons. And I'll tell you here and now, I've said, Lord, one of my grandsons is saved, and the other one's just 5 years old, full of energy as any little five-year-old boy. But I said, oh, God, I'm not going to let the devil have him. Amen. I'm going to win him to God, that we can walk all over heaven with him and have a great time. Hear me. When you start seeing your loved ones going to hell again, it'll put a burden on your heart like nothing else will. I want to tell you this. I was in a city some time ago. Never will forget it. Preached this very message. The young man came to me after the service. He said, Preacher, I forgot how awful hell must be. He said, My old daddy lives way down in Alabama. He said, it'll take me all night to get to him. But see, me and Daddy has been buddies all of our life. We've rabbit hunted together. Said, Preacher, I forgot that my daddy is going to hell. He said, Preacher, will you pray for me? I'm going to drive all night. I can't stand to think about my daddy going to hell. He said, Preacher, pray for me that I'll be able to win him. I said, boy, I'll do it. He got in his car in the churchyard, him and his wife, and started driving south. You know, he drove all night, and he told me the story. Said, I drove up that old farm where I'd play as a boy. And said, I jumped out about daylight, ran up and started beating on the door, hollering, Daddy, Daddy, Daddy. Said, the old fella came to the door. Said, I put my arm around him and said, Daddy, I don't want you to go to hell. I've drove all that to get to tell you about Jesus. And he said that, Daddy said, boy, I haven't slept a wink all night. I haven't slept a wink all night. Said, boy, tell me how to get saved. Now in that house, he bowed down with his... with his daddy and got born again. Oh, you said, let me ask you a question. I want to ask you something to see if we're preaching, if I'm preaching about what you believe in. Do you believe that there is a literal, burning, everlasting, flaming hell where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched? I want to see the hands of everyone that believe there is a literal burning hell. They come down. I want to ask you tonight, have you got a burden for those around you that's lost without God, and you know they're going to that hell, you say, that you believe in? It'll put you on visitation. It'll make you believe in missions like nothing else. It'll make you love souls like nothing else. It'll make you a better Sunday school teacher than anything else in the world. There are so many Sunday school teachers that are dry and dead. When you see men and women and boys and girls in your classes are going to hell, it'll put a burden on your heart like nothing else will. Let me ask you, Mama. Let me ask this. I want to find out something. How many here right now, right this minute, have got some loved one, I mean real dear to your heart, that's lost? I mean lost. They're not going to be lost. They're lost now. And if they die tonight with a heart attack, they'll plunge in to the depths of hell. They'll plunge in to that burning inferno. How many of you got somebody that you love that's lost? Lost. Oh, what an awful word, lost. Take your hand down. I want to ask somebody a question. I wonder if there's somebody here got a mother or a daddy lost. Would you raise your hand? Wait just a moment. Sir, oh, take them down. Sir, let me address you. Which is it, your daddy or your mama? Your mama? Both of them? Oh, she held you in her arms one day. Cared for you when you was tiny. Son, do you realize? Have you done all you can? Have you sometimes said, I'm going to give up? Oh, that's daddy and mama, boy. That's daddy and mama we're talking about. My blessed old daddy that's in heaven, Sammy. Oh, mama said, I ain't going to give him up. I'll pray for him till he gets born again. Now then, daddy's in heaven. Hey, Dad! Amen. Oh, you said, preacher. Let me ask you a question. Was there somebody in here had a mother lost or a daddy? If there was, let me see you raise your hand in this section here. Mother or daddy? Look up here, honey. Stand up here, would you please? Yes, ma'am. Who is it, honey? Your father. You love him, darling. And if he dies, he's going to hell. Oh, James, am I preaching right, brother? I'm trying to tell people about Jesus so they won't go to hell. Man, so they won't go to hell. Oh, folks, I believe in a hell. Oh, how many of you sitting right here right now said, I just give up on them. I just give up on them. Sammy, I can't do it. I just can't do it. Doctor said I oughtn't to preach but 3 times a week. They tell me I ought to be quiet and be calm. But when I look, when I look out and I see men going to hell without God, I can't be quiet. I can't stay. I've got to tell them. I've got to warn them. I've got to show them there is a hell. Amen. How many more? Go, anybody over here got a mama or daddy lost? Huh? Is there? Honey, come here, little lady, right here on the front. Come here to Brother Blue, honey. I ain't going to embarrass you or hurt you. Who is it, darling? Your mom. Both of them. Do you love them, honey? Have you done all you can to get them to Jesus? Oh, honey, let them see Jesus in your life. Let them hear you pray, darling. Oh, just do everything we can to keep them out of hell. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. Amen. Amen. Oh, do you? How many of you say you still believe in hell? Let me see you raise your hand. Take them up high. I want to see them. Now take them down. Let me see you take them down now. Now I want to ask you a question. I want to find out whether you believe in hell or not. How many of you go on visitation and soul winning and knock on doors regularly? Let me see you raise your hand. See, some of you don't believe in hell like you say you do. If you do, it'll put you out there knocking on doors. It'll put you out there witnessing. It'll put you out there telling people there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun, and you better get born again. It'll make a better Sunday school teacher out of you. It will. Wonder how many mamas and daddies here right now got a lost son or daughter. Huh? Lost son or daughter. Raise your hand up. Lost son or daughter. Thank you. Stand up, sister. Just stand there, dear. Which is his son or daughter? A son. and a daughter, daughter-in-law. Mama, you remember when he was a little boy? Huh? Did you used to hold him in your lap and sing to him? Did you used to feel his little soft face? Huh? You used to get sugar right off of there. Huh? Mama, you don't want to go to hell, do you? Mama, have you done all you could to keep him out of hell? Oh, my God, thank you. Thank you. Folks, do you realize tonight that there's a great number in this crowd that's got boys and girls sleeping under the same roof you are, that you'll go home tonight, not even have a family altar, you'll not even have a Bible reading, you'll not have a devotion, and you'll jump in the bed and right in the next room is your own flesh and blood that does not know the Savior, that has not been born again, and if they die, they'll go to hell. There are some of you mamas. Remember that old hymn that said, how sweet and happy seems those days of which I dream, when memory recalls them now and then, and with what rapture sweet my weary heart would be if I could hear my mama pray again. There's some of you children right here right now that's never heard your mama pray. You've never even called them on their knees in prayer. You've never saw them down weeping before God for a lost, weeping before God for a lost community. Oh, folks, you listen to me. There's daddies and mamas scattered around this country right now that you haven't even made a long-distance phone call to and tried to keep them out of hell. How sad it's going to be when you have to look down in that casket. Daddy's hands are folded. The undertakers have done the best job they can do. And you look down and said, Daddy, I'll never see you no more. I'll never get to walk over heaven with you, Daddy. Daddy, I loved you, but I never done all I could to keep you out of hell. Daddy, I had chance after chance. Mama, I had chance. Oh, listen, how many of us preachers have preached funerals of boys and girls that their bodies had been mangled in wrecks, and the mother screamed, hovered over that casket, and said, oh, son, you're lost, and you never was saved, and then faint and pass out. Oh, listen to me. If my girls, Carl Lackey, both die in Cleveland, Tennessee tonight, I'm thrilled, hallelujah, that Sister Blue and I can walk by and say, I'll meet you in the morning. They're saved by the grace of God. Mamas and daddies, think about it. Your children that's smothered out of the blood are lost, and they're going to hell if they die. One of my more eloquent, educated, refined, dignified, cultured preachers said, I never preach on hell. I never preach on hell in my church. I'll tell you, my friend, you listen to me. You can call me an old hellfire brimstone preacher if you want to. You can put any tag and title on me if you want to. But I promised God the other day, with that little cheap Bible in my hand, I looked at this Bible and it said, I preach this message so, but there's no notes where so many were saved. And I promised God the other day, with that little cheap Bible in my hand, Lord, I want to get as many in as I can before you call me out of here. Amen. I want to see as many mamas and daddies. I want to, a girl the other night in the congregation, she ran to the preacher while I was preaching this, and she said, preacher, I've got to go to your study and make a phone call. I can't wait no longer. And she said, "Preacher, I'll charge it to my phone here in town." I didn't know, but after a while, hallelujah, I heard her coming back toward the auditorium saying, "Ah! Ah!" She went and got on the phone to her mother, hallelujah, and wept and said, "Mama, I want to tell you one more time about Jesus, amen. I want to tell you one more time that heaven's real and hell's real." And she warned her mama to God on the telephone, and she come back in a shouting about it. Oh, God, help us. I ought to start believing in hell again. There's some of you sitting here right now, right tonight, right this very minute. Little old children are lost. Husbands lost. Some of you wives have done swore off. You said, "I ain't going to mention it to him no more. I ain't going to mention it to him no more. I never will forget Mama. Daddy'd get drunk and fall on the front porch and we'd drag him in. She'd wash the vomit off his face and sing Amazing Grace right down in his face. Hey man, she never did fuss at him. Never did nag at him. But she prayed him to God. Amen. There's some of you sitting here right now. It's amazing how nonchalant you are. Your own children are lost. And if they die, if they die, they're not going to the world's fire. They're going to hell. They're going to hell, folks. Don't you know that? They're going to hell. There's some sitting here right now. There's some sitting here with their shoulders touching someone that's so dear to you. There's sitting by your shoulder right now somebody that you haven't even reached out a loving hand to in a long time and said, "I want you to go to heaven with me. I want you to go to heaven with me." Oh, glory to God. I don't know about you more cultured and refined folks. There's some folks I'm counting on going to heaven with. I mean, listen, I'm looking forward to it. I'm so glad, glory to God, I'm not going to hell. I've had folks to cuss me and consign my soul to hell with an oath, but I got news for you. I'm going in the other direction. Amen. I'm going in the other direction. There's some right here, right now, sitting in arm's reach of you, is a lost loved one. Oh, listen to me. They waited maybe for so long for just a tender hand to reach out and say, "I love you. I want you to go to heaven with me." Oh, you've rolled back your shoulders and said, "No, I'd give up on them. I'll not talk to them no more." There's such a little son back there. Over here is a daughter that's lost without God and without hope in the world. Over there is a daddy that maybe you give up on. But you realize what you're saying? You're saying, "I know my daddy's going to hell. I know my daddy's going where they're begging for just a tiny, tiny drop of water. I know that. I know. I know they're going to that place where they'd give 10 million worlds just for enough water to wash their brow. I know they're going to that place where they'd give anything just to cool their fevered brow. But I'll give up on them. I ain't gonna try no more. You preachers pray for me. I'm doing my best. I ought to keep somebody out of the pit tonight, Carlacky. Oh, if our church, if we put our steeples on our church just to impress a world, and the intent is not to get men to the Savior, we ought to tear down the steeples and burn the buildings and have no need for them. Brethren, if our whole purpose is not to get men to God, then tell me in the name of God, what are we hanging around here for? Amen. I noticed my dear brother Robert Taylor as he spoke so lovingly. Oh, that precious girl. How old was she, Bob, when she got saved? Your daughter, I believe you said, was five. 5 years old. Five. But can you imagine the horror of your heart, Brother Bob? How old did you say she was now? Can you imagine the horror of your heart, my brother, to think that your 20-year-old daughter was lost without God? Brother Bob, I ask you, sir, could you actually lay down on your pillow and nonchalantly say, so what? No, no. A million times no. I could not, I say to you, I could not. I could not. But I tell you right now, I'd want to do something to do my best to get to her about Jesus. I'd want to tell her about the old rugged cross. I'd want to tell her about the blood streaming from his lovely side. I'd want to tell him one more time that Jesus Christ died for him and wanted him to get born again. And still I say to you, sitting right, how many of you have some loved one here right now that's lost without God? Some loved one here right now that's lost. Hold up your hands. I want to see them. Right here in this building, lost without God. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And my friend, let me ask you tonight, what have we done? Shall we cease? Shall we stop? Shall we fail one more time to get them to the Lord Jesus Christ? Oh, when I remember, it's burnt on my heart indelibly. I still see that man. I still see him as he grabbed his hair. And that arm was on fire. He pulled his hair out. Oh, it caught on fire in his hand. The sleeve of that coat was burning, waving in the air. Oh, 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 oh. Suddenly, across his face, his hand fell. The old truck driver said, it's all over. And I thought, oh God, no. It's just beginning. Just beginning. Do you believe in an eternal hell? You mean eternal? Do you believe that? And my dear friend, would I ask you, and can I ask you, and may I ask you, what are you doing? What are you doing? Have you stopped? Have you ceased? Will you continue? My dear friend, or shall you leave this building tonight saying, oh, I've done all I can. I've done all I can. Up in Chattanooga some time ago now, some large gasoline storage tanks exploded, and some men standing quite a distance ignited like dry grass. One man began to run. He grabbed his hands like that, and they cooked together. The ambulance attendant said, as they had him in the back of the ambulance rushing toward the hospital, he looked up at him with glazed eyes and said, don't let me die with my hands stuck together. I don't know the Savior. I don't know him. Don't let me die. I believe in hell right now that boy's walking with his hands stuck together. In a dirty barroom floor up here the other night in a town not 20 miles from here, a boy with a red-hot bullet laying in his intestines on a dirty barroom floor with his life blood pouring out on him. His friend bent over him and said, "You can't leave me like this." He said, "I'm dying, and I'm not ready to go." He died there in vomit and dirt and puke. You said, "Where's he at right now?" I believe he's walking through the flaming pits of hell. I believe the rich man's calling at the banks. Oh, oh, I turned the Savior down. I walked out on altar calls. I laughed at the preacher. I made fun of God. I didn't have time. You listen to me, sinner. When you go to hell without God, you'll remember every altar call that you turned down. Amen. I want to talk to another crowd right now. You that are pulling those ragged ropes, ragged cloaks of self-righteousness, you and your dirty robes of religion that you're pulling around your rotten carcass, you go ahead with your pretending little religion. You go ahead and do your little homage to the church each Sunday morning. But if you die with your religious rags clutched in your hands, you haven't known the Savior, you'll still wake up in hell. Amen. Somebody said, "I want to shout tonight." Folks, we've had a great day. God said it blew. I care not what other preachers preach on tonight. You're going to preach on hell. And whatever they preach on, that's my business. But as for you and the message I want you to preach on, you're going to preach on hell. I ask you again without apology for being repetitious. I ask you again without hesitation. Don't you stick your hand up in the air so nonchalantly. Don't you do it. If you give up on somebody, if you've got a son and daughter that your eyes are dried over, if you've got a mother and dad that you can't weep over no more, don't you tell me, my dear friend, that you're where you ought to be with God if your eyes are dried when you remember daddy may go to hell. I want to see the hands of those that honestly, honestly, don't you stick your hands up if you don't mean it. Say, "I know my son's lost. I know my daddy's lost. I know they'll go to hell if they die. Preacher, I believe in hell. I know they're lost. I haven't told them in a long time. Preacher, I know they're to hell." Some of you kids walk down these schoolhouse halls all year long. All year long you walk down those halls. You saw your classmates that are lost, and you're the only Christian around them, and you say you believe in hell, and you fail to tell them about the Savior. You bump shoulders with men down yonder at the factory every day. You bump shoulders with them. Sammy, I tell you what, I'm convinced men don't believe in hell. I don't believe you and I believe in hell. I don't believe this man believes in hell. I don't believe Dawes Harder believes in hell. I don't believe James Compton or any of us believe in hell. Like we ought to believe. I believe we'd be more busy for our blessed Savior. I serve notice on you, my friend. Many times as we go more theologically sound, I fear a lot of time we forget those days when we were boy preachers. Carl, you remember those days? Didn't know much Bible, did you? But you cried a lot, didn't you, Carl? But they got right. Carl, I want to see that again. All right. Sammy, I want to see that again. As we've polished our prefabricated steeples, as we've installed our plastic masters, and we've put down our DuPont 501, we somehow forgot those days of those dime store Bibles that were not leather backs but cardboard. But oh, glory to God. We may not get a preached out of nothing but Luke 16. But we got men to God. We got men to God. You preacher, say what you will, and you go your own direction. And I'm not going to try to be a simpleton or no less. But I'm going to start my life on the grace of God, weeping over souls again, and trying to get everybody out of heaven again. I want the ladies to come to the instruments. Sammy, I got to make an altar call. I got to. I don't know of any previous plans or arrangements, but I got to make an altar call. Folks, don't leave me. Please don't get up and start walking around. Preachers, please pray. If we can get one boy, one mother's son, one mother's daughter, if we can keep them out of hell tonight, they'll be rejoicing in the presence of the angels. I wonder if a hand reached out to that loved one that you're sitting next to. I'm wondering. I'm wondering right now. Sunday school teacher, you love to a murder. Oh, my God, my God, my God, my God. Our eyes are dried. Our knees are not bending. Our souls are not compassionate. Oh, God, what's happened to us? We impress folks with our choirs. We exhibit our talents. And we've stopped telling men that they're going to hell without God. We fasten our degrees eloquently upon our chests. We tell folks of our abilities and our achievements. But I say to you, we need to see the fires of hell burning again that we can keep men and women out of it. Yes, we need to get another old-fashioned mourner's bank while men and women really weep and cry. Oh, I say to you, my friend, tonight, there's those sitting around us. Son shall fluff up his pillow, and he shall go to sleep. Mother, I ask of you, have you done what you could to keep him out of hell? There's a grandson or a granddaughter that you've told not to drop the candy on the floor. You've told them not to mess up your living room furniture. But have you tried to get them to Jesus? Don't you folks come down here and just get on your knees. Oh, you ask God to put that burden and that zeal back in your heart one more time that we can get men to Calvary. We say we believe in hell, but do we? We say, I believe in hell, preacher, but do we? That is, you hug that baby in your arms, you remember one thing. The devil's going to do everything he can. Oh, going to hell, can you imagine that awful thing as they hear folks screaming as they enter that pit. As they hear men screaming as they enter that pit. Oh, daddies and mamas. Brothers and sisters, I say to you, my friend, have you done everything you can in the name of God to win unto Jesus? Oh, daddies and mamas, I beg of you, do not waste 1 minute. Do not waste no time. I beg of you, my friend, because I love you. Do everything you can, though they may be young. Do everything you can to get them to Jesus. Do everything in your power. By the aid of the Holy Spirit. Oh, listen. Reach out for that little old boy. Son, right there. Be still right there, son. Don't be stepping over, folks. You just be still right there. That's the way, right there. Just be nailed down on your knees right there. Oh, listen to me. This is an hour. Oh, this is an hour. If we ever got a burden, don't you go back to your bank until you realize folks are going to hell. Don't you get up off of your knees that you can hear the screams of lovers that are dying without Jesus and going to hell. Don't you do it. God will hold you accountable of making a monk out of this altar. Now is your time.